If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
All right, Light Years Pod, Samus Fandiari here. We're going a couple weeks without Andy. He's on sabbatical. And so I was thinking to myself, who can I get who is going to get the Light Years fans as excited as Andy? And I realized there's no way I could do that. So I went to the next best thing. Who are the guests that have got the best feedback? And so we got Dave Dufour here today. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. I'm ready. I got to bring some of that Andy energy. Unfortunately, I haven't been drinking tonight, so, you know.
Yeah. By the way, congrats on the at the Athletic.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. It should be fun. You know, we're all going over, so I won't be the new guy by myself.
Do you want to reveal anything, like when you guys are formally jumping, or is that still kind of like... Not.
Well, the announcement is out there. We're making the leap. I believe we'll go behind like for subscribers only the first week of April. So just in time for the playoffs when we're actually going to, be kicking our content up even more. But man, we're all excited. It's a brave new world. And, you know, like I complained to you privately about how no one wants to pay for anything. Well, the Athletic, you're now getting even more, bang for your buck. So, we're happy to contribute to the value there that subscribers are going to get. And also it's like it's a unique opportunity. I don't know how you watch sports or read about sports without having a subscription to The Athletic. And so now we get to tap into this like huge talent base.
Yeah, especially for Warriors fans.
Oh, like, my God.
Are there any Warrior writers who aren't on The Athletic?
You can't cover, like, you can't read about Warriors basketball anywhere. Actually, Bay Area sports in general.
Yeah.
Tim Kawakami is essentially, like, the dictator of the Bay Area sports scene right now.
I mean, you know, People's Republic of San Francisco. It's literally that going right. with sports content here. But what I was going to say is even more so, you know what's funny? Because I do have a subscription. Have you ever looked at like aggregations of athletic articles? Because like they'll get aggregated on, all the aggregation sites. And even with that, you still don't get the full picture of what you see in the actual real article. So it's just kind of funny to me because how many times do you read an aggregated story that gives you a quote and you're like, whoa, that seems really dramatic or salacious?
Well, that's what happened with the Ethan Strauss's article on KD that got KD so hot. KD probably didn't see the full article. Article was a lot like more tame than the little bit of stuff that was aggregated out of the article.
Yeah, I mean, Ethan's like, I don't know, he could do whatever, but the impression I get is most people just seem to think he's probably not coming back, which is like pretty, you know, mild in the scheme of things. It wasn't like an aggressive, like, KD's gone, first take, right. You know.
Yeah, exactly, not at all.
But, you know, by the third aggregation on the whatever app, you know, all the, that's what it ends up being. So.
Yeah, I think it was like Bleacher Report that got it. Not to, you know, rub anybody the wrong way, but I think that's what happened.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, they always, anyway. Speaking of KD, we got the full gauntlet of Warriors KD drama the last 2 weeks. I was just thinking about it. So we can go back 2 weeks ago to Wednesday, that Celtics game. That infamous, yep. Actually, that was a Tuesday, so literally, yeah, 2 weeks ago. Then we get, you know, the big win against Denver. Then their worst loss of the year against Phoenix. Then they look like the 2014 Spurs against Houston and OKC with, like, Boogie playing the Tim Duncan role, passing out of the post. And then KD comes back, and obviously Boogie's been gone for a couple games, and it's like, you were at the game in San Antonio. Body language was the only difference between the San Antonio and Minnesota game was one game shots fell for Steph and Clay, the other they didn't.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say to you is, this is giving me some 2004 Laker vibes with the body language between them.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. And I mean, this game tonight against Minnesota was look, when Marcus is out there talking about your, you know, stagnant movement, you know it's bad, right? Like, I mean, Marcus is usually not that critical on stuff like that. And, you know, that was all I needed to see to know it wasn't just in my head. But here in San Antonio, man, you know, the Spurs are really clicking. And you can see, like, you can see it on the court. And so they were able to beat a much better team. I mean, the Warriors have much more talent. But the Warriors team identity just isn't what we expect out of a Warriors team. It feels like there's a lot of competing personalities. That's how I'll put it.
Yeah, and it's like they're fracturing more so in that way. Like, KD's actually moving even less than normal. Like, he's not going to be, Klay Thompson or Iguodala just, like, looking to cut off ball nonstop. That's just not who he is. But, like, the difference between the amount of cutting he would do 2 years ago versus now, where he just claps for the ball and stands still, like, it's pretty obvious. And then on the flip side, like, everyone else on the Warriors kind of thrives on that motion, Warriors-y style that, like, you know, we associated with them that kind of made them a powerhouse to begin with. But it seems to have got worse, and I don't know if it's just a two-game sample, but it's so hard to not look at the Houston and OKC game without KD, two, you know, elite Western Conference teams, Houston particularly, and not think, like, man, they look exactly like those Warriors that were dominant pre-KD, only with a low post score.
Yes.
No, you're not willing to go that far?
No, not quite. I don't believe in Boogie yet. I just don't.
No, but there is something. I mean, I probably have the same defensive concerns you do, but I mean, you know how Kerr runs a bunch of Spurs stuff.
Yeah.
And having a big man who can pass out of the post, like, opens the whole thing up, and he's really good at that. And, like, you could see just the fits just very natural with Steph and Clay just by nature of their natural games.
Right. Although I will say, you know, so Alphonso McKinney has been frustrated in these last two games. I've watched him mess up Steph's corner relocation twice.
Yeah,
tonight.
He really doesn't
Andrew
realize
Wiggins
got a
steal
coming
out of it. And it's just like, dude, you got to move. You got to you either got to screen or you just got to run away. And Draymond has now, you know, has turned the ball over twice because Draymond's going to throw that pass, right? That pass is coming.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I think they've got. It's funny because I know that they focused on wing depth, right? But they've got concerns that, like, I'm not worried about the center situation. Your worst case scenario is Kevon Looney, and
that
Kevon
might be your
Looney's,
best case scenario.
Well, I was saying,
that's your best
Looney's
place.
Pretty
with,
damn good.
Yeah.
This would be now the third place I've dropped this take today. Dropped it on the Daily Ding and also on Basketball Buds. Cheap plug.
Hey,
I think Andrew Bogut is going to be starting for this team by the middle of the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think he's going to fit better than Boogie has.
So
he looks good.
I agree with you. Having the defensive low usage center, who by the way is a phenomenal passer, makes a ton more sense with KD, Steph, Clay, you know, all that. But they're not going to put Boogie on the bench until they're in an elimination game. I have a hard time seeing Kerr putting Boogie on the bench unless they're down 3-2 and he has to.
Yeah.
I legitimately think the Warriors are playing with the thought that KD is probably leaving, so let's try to really endear ourselves to Boogie and see if he's willing to take the discount to stay again. I think that's part of it for why they won't move him to the bench until it's like,
you think he might stay?
Yeah. I'm not convinced that he'll get those big offers.
I think, all right, so we talked about this a little bit today too. I think the Lakers are going to overpay for him, or the Knicks, whichever one strikes out worse.
So here's my thing. If he stays, it's because KD's left.
Yes, they won't both stay.
And if KD's left, KD's in New York, and I don't think Boogie's going to New York with KD. So that leaves the Lakers, which is, you know,
Jimmy Butler and DeMarcus Cousins with LeBron James.
we're just writing fan fiction now, huh?
I mean,
this whole season has been, in my opinion, but I don't know. I just get the feeling. So I agree with kind of what you're getting at. He's going to have some really rough moments in the playoffs, and I think that's going to scare people from offering money to him.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to this point. Unless you're like R.C. Buford or like Sam Presti or like a GM who, like, if you make a terrible signing, you're not going to get fired. A lot of GMs are going to look at him and go, do I really want to give this guy like $70 million over 3 years?
Right.
And then, you know, like if it doesn't work out, you know, I'm pretty much out of here. And those smart GMs, I don't think. Maybe the Spurs will go for him. I don't know. Maybe Pop's feeling really frisky. But I don't know that. I just don't know that those huge offers will be out there for him.
Probably not. I threw out a scenario where he would sign like a 1 year, like make good type contract, maybe with a player option, right? So like in that 12 to 15 million range.
So here's a question. If someone's offering him 12 to 15 and the Warriors are offering him 9 to come back when he knows he has good chemistry with Steph and Clay and Draymond.
Yeah. I'm with you. Look, I get it.
I'm selling myself.
LeBron should have tried
right
to
now.
Sign with the Warriors, right? Like, let's just be honest, right? If LeBron cared about championships, that's where you go.
Sure.
So I get it. You know, Boogie played a year. You know, he knows that he's going to be in an environment that's going to try to do everything it can to make sure he's at his physical peak and happy and all these other things. I get it, but not everybody's built that way.
No, that's true. I mean, the smart money's, it's more likely he won't come back than he will. But all I'm saying is I don't think he's going to have these max offers waiting for him. I'm not even convinced he's going to have like the $20 million range waiting for him. And if we're talking about a series of $10 to $15 million deals, then the Warriors are potentially at the table. Like he's not turning down, you know, 25 a year from someone. That's not happening. I'm just not convinced that's out there.
Yeah. Again, I think the Lakers would be the most likely team to make that call.
Yeah, but anyway, let's get back to the KD
enough
stuff on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really, like, to me, it comes across as pouting. It's like he saw how well they played without him and kind of the way everyone reacted to, like, oh, the old Warriors are back. And I feel like his play, it's it's passive aggressive is the way I saw it. It's like, oh, you want me to just be a role player? I'll be a role player and like kind of stand around.
Yeah, it was Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, it was Kobe.
Yeah, it was Kobe.
I keep thinking of those Kobe games, like whenever he got criticized for like 35 shots or something.
Yeah.
He'd have one of those weird games where he took like 5 shots and had 20 assists.
It's very LeBron.
Yeah.
Hey, we've seen this from LeBron probably as much as anybody. Like we've usually it doesn't last a whole game. It's like a half a basketball and he'll take 2 shots trying to prove a point. Like didn't that happen in Cleveland right before the deadline? When they flipped most of the team?
When it was like clear that he wasn't in love with playing with Isaiah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That feels like a lifetime ago, and we're really talking about 12 months ago.
So much stuff has happened, man.
Yeah, it's like, but my question with the Warriors is like, do you think this is going to get better, or is this literally just going to be like they're going to have this dysfunctional chemistry in the playoffs, and it's really just a matter of can the talent overcome it? Which, I mean, it potentially can because it's a lot of talent.
Right. I think that. I honestly, man, it just feels like everyone's over it, including KD, right? Like, I think KD is also just kind of over it.
You know what we don't talk about enough?
What's that?
Steph, Klay, and Draymond are over it.
Yes. Well, Steph just seems like the kind of guy that just has, he just kind of smiles through everything, right?
Yeah.
He looks fed up.
Yeah.
Klay is the guy, like, I mean, he's Mr. No Worries. And some of the quotes out of him recently, while not directed at Kevin Durant, have kind of been voicing some frustration.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I Steph's the most obvious one to me because he's always been kind of the guy who over-accommodates everyone, sometimes to his own detriment. And he's out here chucking. The San Antonio game.
Oh, my God, man.
That was pretty aggressive. That was not, I mean, I'll never say Steph don't take 18 threes, but I haven't seen him, like he usually only hunts like that if he's hit a couple in a row and it's like, I'm feeling it and I'm heat checking basically, right?
He came out hunting.
Yeah.
And then he hit a 61 footer.
After he'd made nothing before that, by the way.
Right.
And then he went back. I mean, it was just kind of a weird shooting night for him, and the Spurs did play great defense. But
yeah, he was basically great in the third quarter, and outside of that, he was off.
Yeah, and I feel like it's actually bad when he's hunting like that because what makes him dangerous is he kind of plays in flow. And it can be frustrating when you're like, dude, just take the game over. But when he's hunting, it becomes a little more obvious, a little easier to defend, right?
Exactly. Because you know, like, he's looking for that shot.
Yeah, as opposed to like, hey, I'm just trying to invite the double team to get an easy layup for my teammates or, you know, all that stuff. But, I mean, it's been kind of a thing all year. And it's gotten worse recently where it's just like, I feel like he's completely over catering to KD.
I mean, do you blame him?
No, because it's like these mood swings are for nothing. Like they had a dominant, they had maybe the most dominant playoff run ever in his first playoffs, and then he started getting moody all the time, and it was like it wasn't about winning. Like Steph sacrificed a bunch of stuff just to win and to make him feel better, and none of it was enough. Like I feel like it's not enough unless like KD comes out and like says KD's or Steph comes out and says KD's better than me and I'm a role player, you know?
Right. Which
is not going to happen.
Let me ask you a question because, go for it. You know, obviously like I get to talk about the whole league and you focus on the Warriors. Have you and Andy gotten tired of talking about the KD stuff yet?
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about it. We have different perspectives. Andy is kind of ready for the era to be over. He's ready to go back to the original Dubs and kind of see what they can do around them and see if they can win one more. And, you know, that sort of thing. Me, I'm more sympathetic because I think KD is one of like the five most talented players of all time. Yeah. I wouldn't call him one of the five greatest players of all time, but he is like, I mean, he's absurdly talented. And when they are clicking, it's just obscene to watch. So I'm kind of more like my personality is predisposed to like, man, how can they fix this? Like, what, you know, trying to solve a puzzle which increasingly feels just unsolvable.
Right.
So I'll just kind of always keep going back to like, well, what can they do to get out of this rut, or what needs to be done to make this work? Do they need to trade Draymond to engage KD more, or like, you know, stuff like that? Will run through my head, whereas Andy's just like, diminishing returns. We're done with this.
Yeah, I think it's over.
I mean, I think it's over too, but it doesn't stop me from, you know, running through the scenarios in which it cannot be over.
Sure. I don't think the run is over. This is the thing, man. The run is Steph Curry, right? And Klay Thompson. That's the run. So even if they move Draymond this summer, like if KD leaves and they move Draymond, I still think this is most likely the team that we're going to see in the finals. Now, does it get, is it a bumpier road? Absolutely. Right. Are they the runaway favorites? No way. But they still will have an extremely talented team. They'll have, to my mind, the best player in the league. Once again, the greatest offense on earth is Steph Curry shooting the ball 100 times.
Potato play where it's like Steph running circles, keep relocating, yeah, while like Draymond and Iguodala pass it around till they find you.
Exactly. I mean, that's the best play in basketball as far as if you care about scoring points, which is the whole goal. And so I think, you know, the run is not done. But I think the KD stuff is done.
Yeah,
the Draymond stuff is the Draymond contract concerns are a lot more interesting to me than the KD stuff.
To me, the interest. So I'm trying not to fast forward because I'm super fascinated with how Myers and his team can put the right pieces around Steph, Klay, and potentially Draymond going forward. Because, you know, when they built that first team, Klay was on a rookie deal, Draymond was on a rookie deal, and Steph was making $10 million when the cap was $60 million. So, like, you basically had your core three taking up $15 million, right, of a $60 million. Like, that's just unheard of. And that's, by the way, the only way you can build a roster as good as theirs was. Like, you just have to have a bunch of young players who are way better than their contracts.
Right.
That won't be the case anymore. Like, Clay's going to get some version of a max deal, whether it's like, you know, the non-super. I don't know. He's going to end up making over 30 end of the day, and Steph's at 40. So that's already like 2/3 of your cap right there. Like, there's just not money to find the next Iguodala. And I don't even know who is the next Iguodala, you know, like, he's just the most uniquely perfect piece to fit around them. So there's all these things where it's like, I don't know what it'll look like. And I could see a scenario where they're really good, but like lacking the right role players around their core to really get over the hump. So that's what I'm curious about, but like, I don't really want to talk about that all the time because we're in the middle of a season and, you know, they could still lose in the playoffs.
It is a possibility. Houston's looking pretty good, man. You know, I don't think the Spurs are a real threat, but, you know, the league is better right now than it has been probably than any time during their run, as far as, you know, top to bottom. Teams are better. The East, you know, there's a couple of teams that could give them some trouble. In particular, I think Philly, which, well, I think a lot of people are overlooking. They've got a lot of talent.
Yeah, I like Philly too. And Philly, the one thing they have that I don't know that any other team has, they're just more, they're bigger than the Warriors at every position. And that's kind of a problem. Like, Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Embiid, they're just way more physical than the Warriors. So, I mean, they could be a problem for them. I don't know. I keep thinking the Warriors do have 2004 Lakers vibes to them, but they also have just a lot more talent than that Lakers team. I mean, Shaq and Kobe are Shaq and Kobe, but like, they didn't have Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and, you know, Boogie Cousins and Iguodala and stuff next to them. So yeah, the margin for error is so much higher. So I could see them being that disjointed and still winning or falling apart.
It's possible, man. I think that the whole nihilism about the NBA season, I feel like maybe the Warriors are a victim of this as well. This is kind of like an outside-the-box take on this. But I think that the pressure, this is like the first year that we've seen the pressure of them having to win. They know the KD thing is over, right? So they know he's leaving. They might feel like, hey, this is our last shot at a guaranteed title. We got to win. And it doesn't seem like they're having a ton of fun, if that makes sense. Now, when KD's in the lineup, at least.
It says everything. They had the most fun I've seen them have all year in the two games without KD.
Yeah. And they were fun. Like, they were fun to watch. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was something else. It was basically, I mean, the takes were going to go one way or the other, how it went without KD. Like, if they looked awful without him, then it'd be a lot of, you know, they need him and they need to cater to him more and blah, blah, blah. But it's gone the opposite way. I feel like they got confidence off of it, and now they're even less interested in catering to him. Like, I feel like the San Antonio game was an example of that. It's like, we just beat down OKC, like, thoroughly on their home court after we beat Houston. I really don't care if you're 2-time finals MVP and like future Hall of Famer. We're going to play our way.
Yeah. And it's crazy, man, because like I would say KD probably has never looked as good as a playmaker, passer. You know, all the stuff that you would want him to be able to do, right? Like, I mean, he's been really good. Like, he's
he's
not selfish.
We're taking for granted just, like I said, one of the five or so most talented players of all time. Like, does he have a weakness? His weakness is basically he pouts. Like,
right.
That's it. You know, he doesn't play the game hard every time he wants to. But like, in terms of when he's engaged, he has zero weaknesses. Maybe posting up smaller guys who are really strong. If we want to get like super technical, but I mean, why bother? Yeah. But let's transition this. So there's been a lot of just hype over Klay Thompson potentially making all NBA or making an all defensive team. And I want to get an outsider opinion on this, like, because Klay's one of those players. It's weird to me that the metrics never measure him as a good defender. They don't even measure him as like an elite defender. Like, the coaches will say he's an elite defender, and I think he's, you know, a very high level defender. Like, where he ranks in the pantheon of wing defenders in the NBA is subject for debate. But like, the numbers outright say he's like a mediocre defender, which just makes me question those metrics.
Well, there's no good defensive numbers,
right? But do you think he is actually? So let's run through this exercise. If I said name the all-defensive team, who you got? Like, Paul George is obvious.
Paul George, Giannis. My center, man, I've been – it's probably Gobert, and then with Miles Turner, second team.
Sure.
I think on a podcast earlier this week I said Miles Turner, and the truth is I just forgot about Gobert. Like, Gobert is probably, like, number three in Defensive Player of the Year, maybe number two ahead of Paul George.
Right.
If we're going to sit and split hairs, I think Giannis should be the defensive player of the year.
Either way, those are all front court players, so they're not really going to be stealing Klay's spot.
Right, exactly. I mean, Derek White, he's missed a lot of the season, but wow, like, he's so good.
Right. They lost DeJounte for a full year, and they just found another one.
Well, yeah. I mean, and he might be better, like, defensively. He's really good. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure about the guards this year.
I might go Marcus Smart. I mean, I'm just a huge fan of his game.
Me too. Yeah.
It would be hypocritical for me to love everything about Draymond's game and then just be like, I don't know about that Marcus Smart guy. He's dirty.
I'll go Marcus Smart and Danny Green. I'm going to give my vote to Danny Green.
Okay.
Out of respect. No, I mean, Danny Green's been great. I don't know, man. I think Klay is a very good defender. And, I was probably one of the first people to point out how good he was defending the post, and how, you know, a few years ago when they were trying to post you post him up with Kevin Love. I was like, no, that's a huge mistake. Like, first of all, Clay is 6'7", and he's stouter than
he's strong.
People think.
He's very super strong. Yeah. Actually, that's always been my favorite thing. People always like marvel over him guarding point guards. I'm like, I think he's better at switching on to bigs than he is at guarding point guards.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He just doesn't get tired, which is why he's great at guarding point guards. Like he can run around forever. So
I did crack up at Russell Westbrook trying to post him. That one time, I'm like, Russ, what are you doing?
That's not.
I mean, save that for when you get a smaller guard on you, which is like 80% of the time.
How about everybody? Unless you're Joel Embiid or maybe Giannis, don't try to post up Clay. But, I mean, there's probably a case to be made for it. But honestly, man, like, the front court or the back court guys, it's a weird season. Nobody really stands out.
There's no Tony Allen. Yeah.
Well, I think Marcus Smart is probably the guy.
It's this funny thing where I feel like all NBA, you always feel like you want to take more backcourt guys than you're allowed to, and then all defensive, you're like, well, I guess I got to leave Draymond off, but like he's objectively a capable all first team defender, but I can't like justify putting him there over Giannis or PG. But then you're like, I don't really know what guards I want to take. Like if you didn't have to think about positions, you'd probably just take 5 front court players.
Right.
I don't know.
More important.
It gets interesting because if Clay makes all NBA, he becomes supermax eligible. Right now he's eligible for that. The Gordon Hayward, Al Horford level max.
Right.
But if he makes all NBA, he's eligible for, I believe, the one that goes over $200 million. The Warriors got to be rooting for him not to get it because they're incentivized to, you know, well, we'd have paid you more, but we can't by the rules, you know?
Right.
So, they don't want him to get into that Steph Curry tier of max contracts. Like, not that they give him the full Steph contract, but like it just makes the negotiation contentious, and you know, it's worse for, it goes back to the point I was making earlier, they don't have star players who are kind of, you know, below market value anymore. So
right, and that's where teams are able to go from contender to champion, when you're able to, you know, you kind of are winning on the margins, not just on the basketball court, but you're winning in your salary cap. You know, Steph Curry being on that cheap deal, having all that cap space to be able to get Iguodala, and then obviously the whole KD stuff, like,
right,
was just incredible. But it started with that Iguodala summer. Like, not signing Dwight Howard is the reason why they were able to go on the run.
Yeah. I mean, you can even go back to what made LeBron go back to Cleveland. It was like, They had a budding star in Kyrie, but he wasn't really paid yet. So right, it made it easier for him to bring him in. And Kevin Love was on kind of the rookie. Well, he wasn't on a max, but he was on kind of the rookie extension, like a good contract, but not the third contract, which is significantly higher. So it just made everything a little easier for LeBron to come in. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff you need if you want to actually have like 3 all-star level players. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen with the cap.
Yeah, it's definitely not. I mean, obviously the Warriors are not going to be able to do this, you know, what they did anymore. Like, they really like struck gold. But I'll stand by this, man. Even though KD, I still think the Warriors are going to be in the finals next season.
Man, I wish I could be that optimistic, but I just feel like 5 in a row, like even if they're good enough, like at some point there's got to be the second round knockout because they're gassed and maybe a couple guys are nursing injuries and then they go for another run. That's just kind of what I think. I don't know.
Maybe. It's a much better story if they go back next year without KD.
I mean, I'll be rooting for it, but
yeah, of course, because the Lakers are not going to make the playoffs next year.
Oh, yeah, we got to save you to come back on with Andy to do our victory lap on that one fully. But, I mean, I can't believe the way they fell apart. Like, it's in my mind, I didn't think it was possible. Like
4-15 since February 1st, man.
Yeah, they've been tanking the last five games. So really only like 4-9.
Sure.
So this is an interesting question that I got. Yeah. Any chance the LeBron Lakers experience deters KD from the Knicks?
I think that's an interesting question, but I am going to say no, because we all think we're different, right? And yeah. In KD's case, it is a different scenario. Okay, the Knicks haven't been good for a long time, a very long time. This is not the Lakers. He's not going there and having to compete with the ghost of Kobe. There's a different environment.
Yeah, he's dealing with the ghost of Melo. Much more attainable ghost.
Right. He's also going to the East. KD could take this year's Knicks team to the playoffs in the East.
I also feel like he's probably... He's not going there alone.
No, definitely not. He's a better player than LeBron.
And that's the thing that weirded me out about LeBron going to the Lakers. I thought they would... for sure, you know, swing a trade for Kawhi once the Paul George thing went out the window. Even if I thought they would have put their chips on the table, and instead they, I don't know, went with like the Suicide Squad. Like,
yeah. The Lakers screwed this up, but yeah, I don't know if that's going to inform KD's decision making or not. My guess would be no. Because we all think that, you know, our stuff is going to be different.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Here's another one. And since you're around San Antonio more than any team, do you think the Warriors are going to can get Rudy Gay if KD leaves? Or will they try to?
I've been floating that out there too.
I think so too. I think he fits what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's kind of played himself over the mid-level exception.
That's the trick, right? Is that I think that he has played himself into a much better contract. He's really good. He's really good. He can score 16 to 18 a night. His defense is passable. He's a good player.
He's gotten much better at playing within the team too. Like old Rudy Gay, who like he'd get the ball and it was just tunnel vision till he got shot. Like, he kind of plays within the flow a lot better. The thing I want to say about him is I'm just amazed how good he is off the Achilles, because, like, I always consider the Achilles kind of the career ender for guys.
Right.
And I don't know that he's played better than he's ever played.
I mean, he looks super explosive. He's dealt with the heel stuff a little bit and some soreness. But, I mean, he's really good. He's very good.
Indeed. Let's see. What else do we want to get to?
It's the dog days.
It really is.
God, it's brutal. It's brutal right now. Like, here I am. It's the end of March. We're counting down the days till the playoffs start. I mean, we're literally like within 3 weeks, or right about 3 weeks. And there's just nothing happening right now. It's a lot of, okay, we're got some teams jockeying for position, but in particular for, you know, like my guys like y'all that are covering one team, and the Warriors, like, all of their stuff is not really big picture this season stuff. It's all what's going to happen this summer. We know what, like, they're the one seed. They're going to probably roll over whoever the eighth seed is, unless it's the Spurs somehow. And I think the Spurs, while they could still sweep them, I think it's a much tougher sweep, if that makes any sense.
No, I'm with you. I'm kind of I'd be very happy for the Spurs if they drew, let's say, a Denver.
I think they can really, really take it to Denver. But
I mean, everyone's just kind of assuming Denver is going to be the top four seed that gets knocked out in the first round, and like for obvious reasons, you know. But yeah. It would be cool to see the Spurs, after losing Kawhi, make a little noise. And, I mean, I thought they were going to be a playoff team, but everyone who kind of thought, like, the run's just not going to end until Pop retires. It's not.
And even then, man, I'm just not sure, man. They've got the organizational continuity. Like, you know, one of his assistants is taking over.
Right.
And I don't see any reason why Pop would completely step away from the team.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm not considered, like, when he steps away, then I'll maybe entertain the conversation.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. And man, like, when they signed Pau Gasol a couple years ago, I was like, oh, that's it. It's over. They're done. And then they've just continued to freaking win. That graphic that keeps popping up everywhere, they've spent 65 days and 22 years under 500. Get the hell out of here.
The first thing I thought of was, like, I feel like the Warriors spent 65 days over 500 before the Steph Curry-led, like, resurgence with Lakeup and everything. But, like, the whole, like, duration of my life before that.
Yeah, man, it's wild. Like, you know, and now living here in San Antonio and kind of like, and going to the games and being around Spurs fans a lot, man, it's really interesting. They I don't know, man, they don't take it for granted, which is kind of refreshing. I mean, you would think, all right,
yeah,
now, we
I was
just
gonna
go to
ask
the
you how do they transition, like, obviously with Duncan retiring. That was an end of an era, and then, like, you know, Kawhi's whole thing.
Right, Manu retired, and Tony Parker left. I mean, you know, but Pop is the thing, right? Like, right. Pop is the identifier. He really, like, sets the tone, and you know, they love Pop here, and so they also, I'll tell you, man, they love DeMar DeRozan. They took him in immediately. Like, he's fantastic. He's having such a great year. Spurs are fun, man.
They are. I find him a lot more. I mean, I've enjoyed his season, and I do like the fact that it's kind of it's just a lot better when he's not being asked to, you know, play LeBron James.
Oh yeah, that helps. But also, like,
when the expectations are a little more realistic.
Yeah, but also, like, so he's having, to me, his best season of his career.
Yeah.
Best playmaking season, best rebounding season. I mean, he's just been fantastic. But then in that game against the Warriors, they needed buckets. He scores 10 points in the fourth quarter. Like, he was just on fire. Got every shot he needed. And that's the kind of, like, that's a great role for DeMar, where it's like, hey, we really need a bucket. Those guys still have value in the league, man. And you know, I know we like to think about
even though the numbers don't say it.
What is that?
Even though the numbers claim it's not that valuable.
Yeah, the numbers are wrong.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I do believe having, and this is why KD is awesome. This is why Melo was so useful and an all-star for so long. Having a guy who can eat up possessions and get you a basket. This is why I think Harrison Barnes was a good pickup for Sacramento. They didn't have that guy, and Barnes was out there, and it's cap money they weren't going to spend, right? So, I mean, I think that
he's been really good for them, by the way.
He's been all right.
He's been good recently. I don't know. I actually don't know that he can be better.
I think he's going to be good for them next year.
Yeah. I was watching.
Or he's going to be really good on the Warriors next year.
We're bringing the whole band back.
Bringing everybody back.
We're getting Barbosa out of retirement.
Yeah.
I mean, look at
Barbosa is what they're missing, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's best friend.
Yeah, really. By the way, Bogut just looks. I didn't know that I needed Bogut back in my life until he came back, and I was like,
"I love it! Yes. I love it so much." This iteration, somebody said, this is like the strange mashup of the you know, that, like, some from some alternate universe, like, and I said it was Into the Warriors verse, like the Spider-Man movie. It is so funny to see Bogut and KD on the court at the same time.
I would much rather be in the locker room, because Bogut's just kind of like, I mean, jokes around. I mean, he's not a shy guy. I don't think he'd be like, I feel like he'd probably throw some jabs at the passive aggressiveness that KD may sometimes exude.
So I heard that they had a really, really long team meeting. And that they kind of, like, went over how he should be. Did you hear about this?
Are you talking about Bogut or KD?
Bogut.
Okay, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. But they had a big team meeting that Steph Curry said lasted a really long time. So I think they kind of have set the stage for how this is going to go. The last thing they want is Bogut coming in and, you know, making it worse.
Right. I feel like that meeting was more like we're going to tell you what's going on here because it's not what it was when you were here before.
Right. Yeah. Things are different.
Not as fun.
Yeah. They got to get Rocco in the locker room. I think that'll solve all their problems.
Yes.
That's the trick. Rocco's a good glue guy.
Yeah. All right. Well,
they're not real problems. All right. They're gonna win the title. It's fine. Everybody, we all need to relax. But it's definitely fun. It's fun to talk.
I'm ready for them losing a playoff game with too much clapping and the emotions to run high on the timeline.
Oh, God. If they lose, if they were to lose the first game of the playoffs, that would be one of the most amazing things to ever happen.
This is, by the way, why this is the dog days, because the playoff seeding jockeying in the West is interesting, but I can't actually get myself into a caring for another week and a half. We need to get to 5 to 6 games left and teams being 1 to 2 games apart for me to start really looking at it in a serious way. I don't know. Yeah. That's just my, right now. Let me pull it up. You got Utah and OKC and they're
Clippers, all Utah, OKC, Portland. Yeah, they're all right in the mix there.
Yeah, I still feel like it's too early to talk about it, really. Because they're all 2 games apart, basically.
Yeah.
All right, man.
It's too early. Way too early to talk about it. We got to wait till the last week of the season. Yeah. Somebody's gonna clinch their seed the last day.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well, my Sacramento Kings won't be the team, and that makes me sad. They're my favorite watch.
I wanted them to win. I wanted them to be the 8th seed.
I did too. I could have driven up there. Would have been a good time. Probably not going to drive to Utah. So
I feel like I need to come to Sacramento for the 2-day summer league.
Yeah.
I got to make it happen, I think.
Let me know when you do. I'll go
light,
up there.
Light Years live podcast.
Road trip to Sacramento?
That's right. I'll fly to the Bay and we'll road trip. And we'll
You might as well just fly straight to Sacramento. It's a better airport.
Oh.
These are the things you have to consider now that you're big time.
You gotta now that I'm
best,
big time.
You got to get the best Finally. Airport.
Finally, big time.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.